Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, got a question for you today. Can you really, systematically, and consistently get the results you want from others and make them feel genuinely good about themselves and about the process and about you? Our guest today says absolutely. Now, we originally found our guest 1.5 years ago, might be 2 years ago, after one of the members of our community, Wholesaler Mastermind, suggested his last book, and when I saw that he had a new one out, I had to reach out to him and have him fill us up with still more information. Bob Burks, a sought-after speaker at corporate conventions and for entrepreneurial events, he regularly addresses audiences ranging from size to from 50 to 16,000 and shared the platform with notables, including today's top thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, political leaders, including a former president of the United States. He's best known for his book, which you may be familiar with, Endless Referrals, but over the past few years, it's his business parable, and the one that I referenced a moment ago, The Go-Giver, that he co-authored with John David Mann, that's captured the heart and imagination of his readers. It shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal business bestsellers. In just 3 weeks' time after its release, number 9 on Business Week's list, and since its release, it has consistently stayed in the top 25 on 800 CEO Reads Business Book Bestseller List. It's been translated into 21 languages, and it's the 4th book to sell over 250,000 copies. His latest book, Adversaries into Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion, he believes is by far his most important work. He's an advocate, supporter, and defender of the free enterprise system, believing that the amount of money one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. And he's an unapologetic animal fanatic, which makes him even more welcome here at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Bob Berg, welcome.
Rob, thank you. Great to be back with you.
Thank you so much. So let's have us a chat about this new book, Adversaries into Allies. Now, you talk about influence, and that's really important for our wholesalers. Influence, especially selling an intangible, becomes critically important. And in your book, you introduce in The Go-Giver the law of influence, which states, mm-hmm. Your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Tell me more, and us more, about influence. Why is it so important? And you use that word liberally throughout the new book. Please elaborate for us.
Sure, and that's a great question, and it sort of hits several different levels. When you talked about the law of influence, your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. I always feel it necessary to explain for those who may not be familiar with some of my writings that this is not meant to make someone a doormat, you know, or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way, placing other people's interests first. This is simply what free enterprise is all about. One of my mentors, Harry Brown, used to say that in a free market-based economy, profit is simply the result of satisfying another person's desires. In other words, people buy from you not because you have a quota to meet or because they want to be nice or because whatever. They buy from you because they feel they are going to receive a sufficient value in exchange for the money that they're exchanging. And that's how it should be. There's not only is there nothing wrong with that, there's everything right about it. And in a free market-based economy, there's two profits. The profit that the seller makes, and the profit that the buyer makes by getting what it is they want. Now, in a free market-based economy, it's all about the buyer, not about the seller. This is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning, because the value must come first, and that must be where the focus is. The value comes first. The money is simply a very natural and direct result of the value that's been provided. Now we go back to influence and the definition of influence. Influence on a very, very basic level, Rob, is simply the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. Any wholesaler can relate to that. But we must ask the question, what is the basic characteristic of influence? And I believe it's pull as opposed to push. You don't hear someone say, wow, that Rob, he is so influential. He has a lot of push with people. No, he has a lot of pull, because influence is not about pushing ourselves, our ideas, and our agendas on others. It's placing their interests first. It's giving them what they want, what they need, what they desire, and we do this through pull. I believe that influence is pull. It's an attraction. Great influencers attract people to themselves and to their ideas.
So, Bob, you have filled us up with a few paragraphs. Each sentence, each word, filled with good stuff. So I want to make sure that some of these things don't go by too quickly, because they're really filled with good information.
Thank you.
I need you to go back to the thunder and the lightning piece, because that's a quote that wholesalers, you may need to take out into the free world. Credit Bob with it. Hit us again, please.
Money is an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning. You know, lightning comes before the thunder. Value comes before the money. You don't say to this prospect, hey, give me a whole bunch of money, and then I'll think about giving you a whole bunch of value, any more than you would say to a fireplace, hey, give me some heat, then I'll throw on some logs and, you know, wood and newspaper and light it. No, we know that in a market-based economy, the onus is on the seller, if you will, to provide that value. And we do that through our focus. It's focusing on that other person.
So wholesalers, so important here, right? We go into advisor's office all the time, and we think the value we're creating is the value of the product that we're providing. And you know, because we talk so much about it at Wholesaler Masterminds, what we're really after is finding the connection, in this case, to build value beyond the product. And then we bring in Bob's entire concept of influence, and it becomes a much more complicated, but at the end, a much more satisfying outcome. I don't want to let this pull versus push thing go too far away either. Tell us a little bit more about creating this dynamic of pull, if you could. We'd like to learn a little bit more about at you as an example. I mean, you've done a tremendous job of building a very large following. Tell us a little bit, if you could, we're off the script for just a minute, about pull. How do you bring people to you versus pushing them towards you?
Well, I think really when you push, you're trying to rule by control. That could include manipulation, intimidation, compliance, if you will. I don't mean the type of compliance involved within a company that you need to follow certain rules. I mean by getting people to do things, based on sort of a force, based on your own agenda. That's not why people want to do business with you. Now, it's not that every so often that's not going to work. It's not that every so often you're not, we see people who do this all the time, the people who manipulate or people who, and that's a form of pushing. It's basically pushing your agenda on something else. But at best, when that happens, that person is going to do exactly what they have to. But at worst, they're going to find a way to sabotage the process completely. And it's the same, whether you're selling, it's the same whether you're leading. So what you want to do is you want to elicit commitment from people as opposed to compliance. A great friend of mine, a mentor by the name of Dondi Scumaci, now she's using this saying within the term of leadership or what have you, but she says, compliance will never take you where commitment can go. And I think that's such a brilliant statement, because what it says is the great influencer is constantly asking themselves questions such as, how does what I'm asking this person to do align with their goals, their wants, their needs, their desires? How does what I'm asking this other person to do align with their values? And when we ask ourselves these questions intelligently, thoughtfully, and genuinely, not as a way to, again, manipulate someone else to do our will, but as a way to help them get what they want, now we've gone a long way toward earning that commitment.
So we talked there about and the word that came in was persuasion. Now, in the book, you speak about the notion of the difference between persuasion and manipulation, and that there's a big difference between the two. Is there really?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when you think of influence as simply moving another person toward a certain goal, there are really two ways to do it. You could do it through manipulation and you could do it through persuasion. I believe manipulation is evil, persuasion is good. But you know what? The two of them are certainly distant cousins because both the manipulator and the persuader understand what makes people move. They understand human motivation. And so they're certainly cousins, but one would be the good cousin and one the evil cousin. So what is really the difference between the two? And I think this was best explained in a book I read. And it's a book that was written back in 1987 by Dr. Paul Swetz. The title of the book was The Art of Talking So That People Will Listen, though the book was much more about listening while other people talked. It was a great book. And in this book, what he said was this, and I'm quoting this pretty much word for word, and that is, manipulation aims at control, not cooperation. It does not consider the good of the other party. It results in a win-lose situation. By contrast, the persuader always seeks to enhance the self-esteem of the other party. The result is that people respond better because they're treated as responsible, what we might call response-able, self-directing individuals. So, Rob, I believe it begins with intent. The manipulator might not be trying to hurt the other person, but they don't necessarily care if they do, so long as they get what they want. They're very I-focused or me-focused. It's win at all costs. The persuader will never let that happen. Their win must also be about the other person's win. Now, very quickly, let me say this. It begins with intent, but that's not where it stops, because both the manipulator and the persuader can both elicit short-term action. But that's as far as it goes, because once you know you've been manipulated, coerced, so forth, you're not going to do business with that person ever again. You're going to resist that person if you can. You're not going to trust that person. On the other hand, once you've been persuaded, you're fine. You're probably going to buy in and commit to what that other person wants because you know they've got your best interest at heart and you came out ahead far more in the last transaction.
Yes. All right, so let's do this, Bob. In the limited time that we have left, we have to attempt to have some discussion, at least cursory discussion, around the five principles that you speak about of ultimate influence. And this becomes so important because I believe, and I'm sure wholesalers listening believe, so much of what we do is all about influence, save the hot product. I mean, you walk in with a five-star product that just got put on somebody's platform. It's inside of somebody's model. It's just been recommended by an LPL. Stand back, watch out, sales are going to smoke. But in the day-to-day combat that takes place inside of a broker's office, it's rarely the breakout product that's going to be the star. It's going to be the wholesaler's ability to influence. So tell us what are, please, the five principles of ultimate influence.
Well, the five principles themselves, number one is control your own emotions. Number two is understand the clash of belief systems. Number three is acknowledge their ego. Number four is to set the proper frame. And number five is communicate with tact and empathy. Now, I don't know how much time we have. I can do a very Reader's Digest version if you'd like, or I can go as deep into these as you want.
Okay, so I know those went by quickly for our listeners as well. Number one was control your emotions. I want to recap if we could, just so everybody
Absolutely.
Gets it. Number one was control your emotions. Number two was clash of belief systems.
Understand the clash of belief systems, yes.
Okay. And number three was it control your ego?
No, acknowledge, you do need to do that, but it's actually acknowledge their ego.
Okay, acknowledge ego.
Yeah. Number four is to set the proper frame.
Okay.
And number five is to communicate with tact and empathy.
All right. I'm going to pick one for us to go a little bit deeper on. Let's pick number two. If you could elaborate a bit on that, the belief system clashing. Tell us about that.
It's very important. What is a belief? I'm always a big believer in defining one's terms so we always know where we're starting from. A belief is simply a subjective truth. It's the truth as you understand the truth to be, or the truth as I understand the truth to be. It's not necessarily the truth, it's our truth. It's subjective. Now, our truth might be the truth, but that's not necessarily the case. What happens is, as human beings, we're all run by an operating system, what I call our belief system. This belief system is comprised of a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television, movies, popular culture, cultural mores, everything we touch, taste, see, smell. Here's the thing. It typically is formed very, very early in our lives. By the time we're a little more than toddlers, we have this unconscious belief system pretty much in place. And everything that comes in after it is pretty much built upon that premise. So as human beings, we tend to, most people actually live their lives unconscious of the fact that they are run by this operating system. Now, to make this even more insidious is the fact that this other person, either the one you're trying to sell to or the person you're about to have a conversation with, they're coming from their own unconscious belief system. Now, let's top that off. As human beings, we tend to believe that everyone else sees the world or has the same basic belief system as we have. How could it be anything else? It's just how we've always known. We know nothing else but that. That's why you hear people say, oh, everybody likes that, or oh, nobody would be interested in that, or you've heard people say, or maybe you've said, I know I have, I would never treat someone like that. Well, no, because these are all things out of our own belief system. So what we need to do, what we always need to remember, is it's not that we need to understand their belief system. Let's face it, they probably don't understand their belief system. They're unconscious of it. It's simply that we need to understand that this other person probably sees the world differently than we do. And as long as we're conscious of that, as long as we understand that, now we've created at least the environment where we can work out a winning situation for both of us.
Bob, there is so much here. Wholesalers, I hope you understand how much there is here. The new book, Adversaries into Allies, the book before it, which is The Go-Giver, both strongly endorsed by us at Wholesaler Masterminds. If you're going to go out and figure out how to increase your influence, I hope Bob has demonstrated he's the guy to get some real insights from. Bob Berg, thank you so much for joining us at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Rob, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wholesalers, we'll be back next time with another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.